me ask you, if you're married, who or what are you putting ahead of your husband or wife? Come on. What is it that's crept in to supplant them from being your number one person on this planet? Because I'll bet you anything that there's something. And when we each deal with that something, what we can rediscover is a passionate marriage. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again this week on Christianity Works. Today we're kicking off a brand new series of four messages called Kiss Me Like You Mean It, inspired by a fantastic book I've read recently on rediscovering passionate love in our marriages. So as we share some time together today, I'm praying that the Lord our God is going to do some mighty things in our lives, in our marriages, through His Spirit and His Word. Anyone who's married will remember those first few weeks, months, even the first year or two after their wedding. You couldn't keep your eyes off one another. You left little love notes around the place. You called each other during the day whenever it was possible. You know what that was called? It's called passion. And in 100% of marriages, at some point, passion evaporates. That's what marriage counselor of 20-something years Dr. David Clark writes in his fantastic book, Kiss Me Like You Mean It. And one of the major reasons that he cites for this, based on all the clinical counselling experience that he has, is that somewhere along the line, we each manage to put something or someone ahead of our spouse. In those early days of passion, nothing comes ahead of our new marriage partner. Absolutely nothing. But little by little, well, you know. One of the most confronting chapters of Clark's book is chapter 3. It's called Even the Dog is More Important Than I Am. Yeah, good title. And there are six big issues that he sets out in that chapter, the main things that we end up putting ahead of our spouses. Let's see if you recognize any of these in your life. Number one are our children. Now, parents know that bringing up children is a grueling marathon that goes on for years. Naturally, our kids soak up our time and our energy. But you and I both know there's a line we step over where, let me say, especially mothers, not always, but mostly, displace the deep emotional connection they should have with their spouse by attaching themselves to their children. Now, all of a sudden, your former number one is coming a poor second, third, or even fourth. And by the way, he knows it, and it hurts. Number two is our job. This is one mostly for us guys. We rationalize that we're trying to establish our careers, working to build a future, creating wealth for a happy retirement. And yet we're working so hard, there's nothing left there at the end of the day for our wives. That was my biggie, and I'm still a reforming workaholic. See, I duped myself into believing that my work was more important than my wife. Number three is your home. For some people, how their home looks and feels is way more important than their spouse. Number four, our hobbies. Hey, it's great to have a hobby or two, something you can do just for yourself because it sparks your creativity, it burns some energy, it relaxes you. I'm all for it. But at some point, our hobbies can rob a marriage of the intimate time that it needs to survive and to thrive. Number five is your pets. Yeah, for some people, their pet has become more important than their former number one person. David Clark in his book recounts the comments of one disgruntled husband during a counselling session, and this man observed that his wife had more kind words, cuddles and attention for their dog Buddy than she did for him. And number six are our friends and our family. A husband that continues to hang out with his old single friends at their houses. A wife who spends on average an hour and a half each night on the phone to family and friends. Now, I'd be really surprised if you don't recognize just one or two of those as things that might be supplanting your spouse as the number one person for you on this planet. And you know the hardest bit about dealing with that? It's admitting that you've let it happen. You see, it's hard for a man to admit that he's putting his career before his wife. It's hard for a woman to admit that she's putting the emotional attachments with her children ahead of this man of hers who promised so much to start out with. But, well, look at him now. The single most important insight that hit me between the eyes in reading David Clark's book, Kiss Me Like You Mean It, is this. If anything or anyone is more important than your spouse, your marriage cannot be deeply intimate and passionate. Let me say that again. If anyone or anything is more important than your spouse, then your marriage cannot be deeply intimate and passionate. Husbands, it's no good killing yourself in your job, coming home and complaining that your love life with your wife isn't what it used to be. Of course it's not. Your work is more important than she is. And wives, it's no good pouring yourself out on the kids or perhaps your pet cat or dog, come on, and then complaining, he never talks to me anymore. Well, of course he doesn't. You are demonstrating to him that he's not important to you anymore, at least not as important as the children or the dog. You want passion in your marriage? Then first get your priorities right. Right priorities come ahead of passion. Do you want to hear what your wife and husband has to say ahead of what anyone else has to say? Do you want to spend time with your spouse before your work, your children, your pets, your family, your friends, your football game? It's about priority. Let's see what Solomon's priorities are. The Song of Songs is a beautiful book that's about the passionate love between a man and a woman, between Solomon and the Shulamite woman. And the Song of Song talks about priorities. This is what she says. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. She wants to hear his voice. She longs for his voice. That's Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 8. And he says in verses 13 and 14, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. What's the Lord our God saying to you and me about the passion that should exist between husband and wife? He's saying that priority comes first. Priority precedes passion. And God's heart is to see you put your wife or your husband before all other things on planet Earth. Yes, he should be the very first and foremost thing in your life, but putting God first inevitably means loving your God-given soulmate above all the other things on this planet, because that sort of love comes directly out of the very nature of God. God is love. Let me put it as bluntly and directly as this. Until your spouse goes back to being number one in your priorities, there will be no passion. But within days and weeks of changing and living out a new set of priorities, putting him or her first, this is what's going to happen. Your former number one, your soulmate, will notice. Absolutely. And not just notice, they'll respond. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Are you challenged by that? Did one of those items in that list of the top six pierce your heart? There's every chance. But what God doesn't want you to do is feel guilty and run away and hide, hoping it'll all disappear. Instead, take this to him in prayer. Come on, admit it to him and pray about it. Because when it comes to these deep things of the heart, only his Holy Spirit has the power to turn things around. Only his Holy Spirit has the gentle wisdom to soften and transform our hearts and get our priorities in the right order. Let me encourage you today. Pray this conviction through, and you'll be amazed at what the Lord does. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but men and women are profoundly different. Wow, Bernie, that's stating the blindingly, glimpsingly obvious. Yeah, I agree. So how come we try to love our wives or our husbands the way we want to be loved instead of the way that they need to be loved? You'd think that'd be pretty obvious too, wouldn't you? You'd think. Let's take a look. Yeah, it's a pretty obvious mistake to make. We each have certain needs in love. There are certain boxes that we have to have ticked for us to feel loved. And so we assume that that's what our spouse needs. We men are incredibly good at this. We figure that if our wives don't agree with us, if they don't see the world the same way that we do, well, they're obviously wrong and they need to be reformed. They need changing because obviously they just have it wrong. It's as plain as the nose on our face. Yeah, right. We all want to love our spouses in a way that makes for a passionate, fantastic marriage. Of course we do. is there any married man or woman on the planet who doesn't wish for and hope for and long for a passionate marriage? The problem is that, well, most of the time, we just don't know how to get there. Most of the time, we men don't know what a woman needs in order for her to feel loved. And most of the time, come on, you women don't know what we men need to feel loved and valued. Just imagine for a moment a marriage where both wife and husband know what the other needs to feel loved. Imagine a marriage where both wife and husband not only know what the other needs, but learn to give their loved one the love that they need most of the time. Do you think that'd make for a good marriage? Hey, that'd make for a fantastic marriage. That would make for precisely the sort of marriage that each one of us is looking for. So right now, men, let's discover what it is that your wives really need. And after the break, we'll be doing the same thing to help wives discover what their husbands really need. I'm going to go back at this point to David Clark's book about having a passionate marriage. It's called Kiss Me Like You Mean It, because he's been in the marriage counseling game for over 20 years. This is what he writes. Nearly every wife would list unconditional love, protection and security, and emotional connection in her list of top five needs. In other words, husbands, she needs to know that she is your number one no matter what she does. She needs to know that you would crawl over broken glass to save her and to protect her, and she needs to communicate with you and be connected to you at a deeply emotional level. If you're a husband, let me ask you, how do you score on those three criteria? When her hormones are playing havoc with her emotions, what does she get from you? Reassurance, encouragement, a hug, or anger followed by prolonged silence? Do you behave in a way that demonstrates to her that you are in the business of protecting her? I mean, when someone a bit odd or menacing walks towards you both on the street, do you make sure that you put yourself between her and that person? And when you come home from work, do you listen to how she feels? Do you tell her not just the executive dot point summary of what happened in your day, but also how you felt about it, what you enjoyed, what you didn't enjoy, what you found hard, what made you angry, what made you laugh? Because those are the very things that are going to make her feel loved. If you start doing those things, develop the habits to do them, pretty quickly she's going to notice the change, and pretty quickly she's going to start feeling very, very loved. One of David Clark's practical tips for making that happen is make sure that your wife is the person who gets your day's news first. Remember the things that matter and make sure that you treat her as your very best friend, the person you want to connect with, by telling her the news first. I mean, isn't that great? If you can, give her a quick call during the day to tell her a bit of your news. Isn't that great? I mean, it's so practical. She wants to hear your news. She wants to hear how you feel about this and that in your day. And when you tell her first, words cannot describe how loved that's going to make her feel. She needs you to tell her in detail over and over again why it is that you love her, what it is that you love about her, what makes you delight in her. Women need that reassurance. They need your unconditional love. She needs you to ask her what she needs today. Sweetheart, how can I help you today? Well, you know, it'd be really good. Can you stop by the supermarket on the way home and grab some lettuce and some rice and some yogurt? Men, that's loving your wife. That's how she needs to be loved. And you know something? It's not that hard. It's about developing the habits. The more you give her what she needs, the more she will give you what you need. I guess the one thing that is particularly tough as a husband is the fact that your wife's emotions are so prone to the hormonal onslaught that goes on in her body on a monthly basis with PMT. And I remember in one of the classes I was taking a few years back in Bible college, one of the older men shared the pain that he'd gone through his wife's menopause, where she would lash out at him for no reason. And choked up and teary as he was, he said to us, "The one scripture verse that lets me love her unconditionally through all that is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And it's a verse, I have to tell you, that I have memorized since then. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Last time I checked, Jesus was nailed to a cross, hands and feet, and suffered there as he choked and died for me. Last time I checked, he gave his all for me. And that's how he's calling me to love my wife through those difficult times. That's how he's calling you men to love your wife through the tough times. That's how he's calling us to give ourselves for our wives in the tough times. God's wisdom is so awesome. Remember, her top three needs are unconditional love, safety and security, and a deep emotional connection. Husbands, start with those things. Do them, say them, live them, breathe them. And that passion you were longing for, trust me, it'll be back real soon. Guys, now that you know what your wife needs from you in order to feel loved, I have some homework for you. It's time for you to sit down and step through how your day normally plays itself out. In the mornings, during the day when you're at work, and in the evenings when you come home. Habits only change if we decide to change them, and my hunch is that you need a definite plan to love your wife. It's time to plan in the conversations, the hugs, the words of affirmation, the things that she needs from you every day. Think, plan, be deliberate about these things, and they'll become habits that make her blossom like you just won't believe. That's your homework. Now, we've talked a lot about husbands loving their wives, but if you're a wife, you may just have noticed that your man is profoundly different to you. He enjoys different things. He thinks differently. He sees things differently. He reacts differently. It's almost like you're living with an alien. Have you noticed? Yeah, you see, most wives are intrigued by their husband's odd behaviors and responses. Well, maybe intrigued is a bit of an understatement. How about perplexed, frustrated, driven crazy, hurt, disappointed? Whatever happened to that romantic knight in his shining armor who rode along on his white steed and swept you off your feet? Now, he just sits there in front of the television and watches sport. I mean, seriously, he's impossible. What happened? What went wrong? Why is he broken? Why is he like this? After the first few years, it's like you're married to a Martian. And that's exactly the point that Dr. David Clark makes in his book about rediscovering the passion in your marriage. His book's called Kiss Me Like You Mean It, and it's fantastic. Have a listen to what he says. He writes, "After two decades of intense marital research, I've discovered a shocking truth about passion. Here are my findings. Something completely unexpected and terrible happens between 2 and 14 years into your marriage. The person whom you fell passionately in love with is replaced by an alien. I'm not kidding. The alien looks exactly like the wonderful person you married, but its behavior is bizarre, unbelievably annoying, and obviously designed to drive you insane." There is many a wife who looks at the podgy slob sitting on the sofa, remote control in hand, surfing through the sporting channels, whose real life experience 100% confirms Dr. Clark's research findings. What went wrong? What are you going to do with him? Girls, the first thing you need to know about your man is that his love needs are profoundly different to yours. Loving him the way that you like to be loved doesn't work. It didn't work yesterday. It doesn't work today. It's not going to work tomorrow. And what's more, it's never, ever, ever going to work. Have you got it? Before the break, we saw what women need in order to feel loved. So now, what do men need? Because their needs are entirely different to women's. Totally. Here they are from David Clark's book. Respect, honor, and sexual intimacy are three of nearly every husband's most important needs. Let's do it again. Respect, honor, and sexual intimacy are three of nearly every husband's most important needs. As a husband, let me tell you, he has absolutely hit the nail on the head. Not only in the three things that he's put on the list, but also in their sequence. Respect and honor come first. Interestingly, there's nothing new in this. 2,000 years ago, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. He said, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Saviour. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be subject in everything to their husbands." That causes a lot of contention, that one little scripture, in a lot of societies and cultures. But wherever you are, and whatever your cultural context or background might be, what this is talking about is the fact that the husband is wired to be a leader. And his deepest need is to be respected and honored by his wife. Now, I could spend an hour or two sharing with you my understanding of how that scripture about obeying and all that sort of stuff plays itself out in Western culture and how it works in my marriage with my beautiful wife, Jackie. But that's not where we're going today. My point is simply this. When a wife sneers at her husband, when she pulls him down in front of the children or in front of other people, when she dishonors him, when she henpecks him, which, by the way, never ever works and only has the effect of having him pull up the drawbridge and locking himself away inside his castle, when she does those things, she robs him of his two most important love needs. Of course he's going to get things wrong. Of course he's going to make mistakes. But in the same way that a wife needs to experience her husband's unconditional love when she's making a hash of things, he needs to experience her respect and honour when he's not having one of his best days. You rob him of that, and I've got to tell you, the guy will close down. Start respecting and honouring him in practical ways, and he will open up. Add to that physical intimacy, which I have to tell you, is almost as much of a physical need for him as oxygen, water and food, and you'll have a new man. Wives, you are the only person on this planet that can legitimately meet this uniquely deep need of your husband. You rob him of that, make it difficult for him, and he feels like the most unloved person on planet Earth. Before the break, I implored men to develop the habits and behaviours that will make their wives feel loved. Right now, I'm imploring you, wives, to do exactly the same for your husbands. He's different to you. That much you already know. Now you know how his love needs are different to yours. Respect, honor, and physical intimacy. Give him those things over and over and over again, and the alien on your sofa will pretty quickly start behaving a whole bunch more like the man who swept you off your feet. Just imagine both of you giving the other what they need to make them feel loved. Now there's a recipe for a passionate marriage. We've all heard the saying, the husband may well be the head of the house, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. There's a lot of truth in that. Wives, I don't think that most of you even begin to realize the awesome influence that you have in your husband's heart with your physical beauty and your ability to enjoy intimacy with him. I know what many of you are thinking to yourselves. I'm not that beautiful. I've put on a few pounds. Gravity's taken over all my body parts. Let me tell you something. Your man thinks that you are beautiful. Absolutely he does. How often do you hear someone in my position talking about the importance of physical intimacy in marriage? Not that often, right? But Jesus talked about it because it is vitally important, especially to your husband. Wives, when you get that, husbands feel instantly loved. A wife's realization of the importance of this one thing in the way that he's wired will literally transform her man before her very eyes. Trust me. This is what Jesus said, quoting the book of Genesis. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, be cleaved to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. You know what I love about God? He's so honest and so direct and so practical in his word. He deals with everything, including marriage and intimacy. In fact, if you're married, let me just pray for you right now. Father God, I pray for each man and woman who is listening today who is married and who's struggling to love their spouse the way they need to be loved. Lord, you've shared some things with us today. Lord, it's in your word there. We've discovered it. Teach us how to love our wives the way we should, and teach wives how to love their husbands the way they should. Lord, we know that you want to bless marriages. We know that you want to pour your love and your grace out. We know that your plan is for us to have a passionate marriage. Lord, we invite you into our marriages today. Be the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our marriages, and give us the wisdom and the insight through what we've heard today to love our loved one the way they need to be loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. awesome stuff. Listen, God wants you to have a fantastic marriage. And that's why I want to encourage you, if you're a wife, to also really examine how you interact with your husband. When he says something in front of the children that you disagree with, do you pull him down on the spot? Because as far as he's concerned, that robs him of honor and respect, and that shouts at him that you don't love him. Or do you have the conversation later, quietly, lovingly, respectfully? Now that you know what makes him feel loved, respect, honor, and intimacy, I have some homework for you too. Sit down, think through the instances over the past week where you've failed to show him the respect and honor. Think through how you interact with him around the whole intimacy thing in your marriage, and plan some new responses. Plan responses that will say to him, "I get it. I love you," in a language that he can really understand. And please don't forget to pray for us here at Christianity Works and for the millions of people in over 160 countries that will hear this very same message on their local radio station, because your prayer is making such a powerful difference. Hey, thanks for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again soon right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.